Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Here we are in week 10 of the Leadership Journey, cruising through the season, and I'm joined by my co-host, Brian Kite, for another step in the Leadership Journey. Brian, always great to have you here.
Hey, Keith. Man, hearing you say week 10, I'd always say the weeks each week, and so week 10 shouldn't sneak up on you, but nonetheless, I heard you say that, and week 10 snuck up on me.
It always does. You always look, you get to week 10 and look back like, where did the season go? Didn't we just start camp a week or two ago? But yeah, it flies by. A lot of things happen over the course of the season, and it's a time where I think a lot of us start evaluating and looking back on that. And part of that is knowing the truth. You have to tell the truth. You have to hear the truth about where you are as a coach, about where you are as a team, all those kinds of things. So that's going to be our topic today, telling and hearing the truth.
It is a great thing to be discussing at any point, frankly. But I like the fact that we're talking about it here in season, sort of three quarters of the way through the season, or so to speak. I believe this will end up being an episode that touches a lot of coaches that they come back to in the off season, and that they pull things that we talk about here today with other people in their lives, not just with players, but just with other people that they care about. For a few reasons, but I begin with this one, why the truth is so important. Because I don't want to get caught up, Keith, in generic discussions of the truth. You know, frankly, you can pull up Twitter, and particularly in the coaching community, you can get really caught up in a lot of generic feel-good statements that are, you know, designed to be motivational, but they're not particularly insightful. It's just tweeting out some general generic version of something that's supposed to sound good. But I want this to be really concrete. And from a concrete perspective, let's start with this premise and then evaluate a little bit. Almost every major mistake in life begins with an unwillingness to tell the truth or an unwillingness to hear it. You think about that for a second. I'm not going to say every single mistake, because a listener can easily point out one. So I say almost every, to make sure that we know it's almost everything, begins with the big mistakes, the big ones, the irreversible kind, the ones that cost you a lot. They almost always begin with an unwillingness to tell the truth or an unwillingness to hear it. And that is that someone is trying to warn us or give us feedback or express caution, but we don't want to hear it because of all the reasons that go into it. Ego and, you know, difficulty and speed, or we think we're right, whatever it would be. Or it's an unwillingness to tell the truth. And that is, we see it, but we don't say something about it. Or we say it once, but we don't say it twice. And it's worthy of discussion because it is such a simple fix, Keith. It's such a simple fix. It's a hard one. It's one that requires a lot of characteristics that not everybody is willing to embrace. But it's such a quick and simple fix. And that is, are we willing to tell the truth? And are we willing to hear the truth? When you hear that right there, what are your thoughts when I mention that this topic is so worthy of discussion, and we probably ought to talk about it a number of times, but that it's worthy of discussion specifically for coaches, because the fix is simple, quick, but incredibly hard. And that is, are you willing to tell the truth and are you willing to hear it? What thoughts come to your mind?
Well, I agree. It is something that seems incredibly easy, but it is difficult, and you feel like, especially, I think, as you have more people that you're involved with, whether you're a position coach, coordinator, I think, takes a step up, the head coach takes a step up, and ultimately, everybody has a vision for how they want things to work, And you try, I think I've made the mistake before. You try to stay positive about that. You try to stay optimistic. You try to see things in the best light. And then there becomes a point, I think, where it, all of a sudden it feels like it breaks down. But the truth of the matter is things are along the way. Maybe you're not telling your truth about the truth about some of those things along the way. Hey, we're just not good at this position. Why? What things are we not doing? I mean, even going back to beginning of the year when we talked about drills and the willingness to let guys, giving them permission to make mistakes instead of essentially lying and cheating your way through the drill to please the coach. So there's so many things I think that go into it that while it seems very simple on the surface, there's a lot of complex factors that have led to that point where you need to either tell the truth or listen to it.
Here's what I was thinking when you were just describing that is I was thinking, what stops us from telling the truth and what stops us from hearing it? And those are two different questions. Or I should say the answers to those questions are different. They're not, it's not the same answers. You could probably put fear in there for both of them, but yes, we're afraid of different things in different contexts.
Sure.
But on that simplicity side, I mean, because you say something that is, and at this point, it's cliched. Tell the truth, like that's cliched. I mean, we've been told that since we were in kindergarten. Unfortunately, most of the time, saying tell the truth is being that statement is being made in a scenario where it's likely to be attached with punishment, right?
Right.
It's tell the truth so you get punished less than if you don't tell the truth. And so there's probably some form of embedded fear of avoiding punishment inside a lot of people. But I was just thinking to myself, what when we have this discussion, when we're talking about the truth, what is it that we're afraid of in telling the truth? Let me put it this way. Let's switch this around. Why are we sometimes afraid to tell the truth to another person about something that we see happening? Whether that's a player, a position coach, your head coach, a parent or family member, or you know, somebody in your family or friends. Why are we afraid? I remember, let's not even assume fear. Why would we not tell someone the truth when we have the opportunity to?
Well, I think part of
what prevents us.
Part of it, I think, you know, we, especially when we care about those people, I think we protect them a little bit, maybe too much. And then also, I think from both sides of it, whether you're telling it or hearing it or admitting it yourself, there's some accountability that goes along with that as well. You're certainly probably going to be asked questions about why you're telling me this and where is this coming from? Why didn't you tell me before? You know, because all the time, I think people feel like sometimes the truth is dropped on them like a bomb. And maybe there are little things along the way we could do better than we get to that point. Because it always does seem, when you talk about the truth, it seems like something big and heavy. That's,
yep. Yeah, of course.
Because I would say, and I don't know if you'd agree or not, you know, that kind of stuff where we feel like compelled that I have to listen to it or I have to tell it, like something has not gone right to get us to that point, whatever we're involved in, whether that's from a leadership perspective, whether that a performance on the field, whether that's our decision-making as a coach, our play calling, whatever it might be, it's a hard pill to swallow, and it's just a hard pill to dish out as well.
Let's make sure we draw a line early in this conversation between capital T truth, the truth of a certain context, and opinion. You know, capital T truth is the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, right? That's capital T truth. It just, that's the way it happens. Capital T truth is there's 24 hours in a day, right? Capital T truth is you win or lose a game and somebody had more or less points than you. There's those. The other kind of truth is the truth that, you know, is true for a particular context. So, or for a particular person, and it can't be invalidated, but it might not be the same for everyone. So for example, Keith, you know, a non-capital T truth, but still truth nonetheless, might be, I say something to you and you say, hey, Brian, that was you saying that genuinely hurt. And that created some damage to our relationship and I don't trust you as much as I used to. I might not share that perspective with you, but that's not an opinion of yours. That's a truth. Like, I did it and it actually happened to you. And that's a truth I have to acknowledge. I can't just say, well, that's your opinion and I don't share the same opinion, so therefore that isn't true. It very much is true for you. Does that make sense, the difference between those two?
Yes.
And then the third is opinion, right? The third is, I think this might be the reason, or that I think that this is going on, or I think this is going to happen. But it's not necessarily true. It's just, I just have a point of view on something. But it actually very much so could be false. Let's make sure we draw the line between those three things. So, you know, Keith, if you say to me, if you were to say to me, Brian, what you're doing will never work, right? That's neither capital T truth, regular truth. It's not either one of those. That's opinion.
Right.
That's something, right? That's something that's in the future. Now, you could say, based on my experience and observation, I don't think this will work. But what we can't get caught up in is we can't get caught up in saying we're telling people the truth when it's our opinion. Sharing opinions is fine as long as two things hold up. One, you acknowledge that it's an opinion, not the truth. Like people have opinions on U.S. presidents. It's not the truth, right? Like, everyone has an opinion on George Bush and Barack Obama and Donald Trump. But the problem is people confuse their opinion for truth. They are what I think they are. No, that's just your opinion. It might not ultimately bear out that way. It's just your opinion. Truth is something that has happened and is real for something or someone, but it might not be the same for everybody. Capital T truth is something that is for everyone. The second thing is if you're going to share an opinion with somebody, you have to make sure you have an opinion or you're coming from a position worth hearing. The reason I don't ever talk about politics or presidents or anything like that with people, or, you know, frankly, even my opinions on them, is I am completely out of perspective as to why my opinion would be valid on anything happening with a U.S. president or, you know, anything happening on a political scale. I'm the last person you should listen to. Sure, I know behavior and sure, I know leadership, but I don't know one millionth of what is going on with any U.S. president ever. So my opinion on what the U.S. president should be doing in America is literally, my opinion is literally worthless. I have no credibility in the space. So I'm not going to believe that what I think is true. I might have an opinion, but it's not really worth sharing with anybody. So when we start talking about telling the truth, I do believe one of the reasons it's hard for us to tell the truth to people is because we think sometimes when we believe we're sharing truth, what we're really sharing is opinion. And we have gotten caught sharing an opinion, trying to position it as the truth, and it rubs other people the wrong way because they don't hear it as truth. They hear it as one person's perspective. You ever encountered something like that or seen it happen?
Yeah, I'm sure I've been on both ends of it, maybe mistaking when I'm telling somebody, is telling them the truth and giving my opinion, and on the opposite side of it, hearing it.
Right, right. And that makes it very different then, right? That makes it very different than when we're talking with a player or an assistant coach and we have to tell the truth by saying, hey, that play or the way that you are calling this game or the relationship that you are building with that player, it isn't working. We are not winning. We are not in the right position. We are under executing because of this. That's a different opinion. Is I don't think you have a good style. That's opinion. Okay. Truth would be, we're not scoring points, or you're getting beat by your man because you're not good enough at this technique right here, or because you are not practicing the way you need to be practicing, or you are not open and willing to hear in conversations because you continue to cut me off when I make suggestions. That's sharing a truth. That's maybe not capital T, but it's a truth that people need to hear. And I think one of the downsides, and you talked about hurting people and protecting people. I guess I would like to address that. And my guess is, Keith, that a bunch of people are going to align with what I'm about to say. And there's going to be part of them that goes, yes, thank you, finally. But one of the dangers right now is that our PC environment, the politically correct environment that we operate in, that is increasing in nature, in part it was created by our unwillingness to tell people the truth that they just aren't good enough at something. We have stopped telling people hey, that thing right there that you're doing, this area where you are, this thing that's happening, you're not good enough at that right now. And this is where you're not good enough. This is where your gap is. This is where you're not executing. This is where you have not gotten better over a certain period of time. And the lack of performance isn't because of your background. It isn't because of limitations being put on you. It's not because of lack of resources. It's because you're not good enough at these things. And then what's happened on the other side of that is because we've been unwilling to tell people that, now people have, shockingly, that's sarcasm, shockingly, people are having a harder time dealing with being told they're not good enough at something, including adults. And we've got a really dangerous situation. We're not as willing to tell people that they're not good enough, and we're not as willing to hear that we're not good enough. And we've there are cycles that feed each other. You see that?
Oh, I definitely see it. I mean, as you're talking, I'm thinking of an example, and I think this could be pretty tangible from several sides of it, to a parent, to a player, to a coach. Thinking of some things that have happened to my son over time and how he's come home feeling and how I've had him deal with those things as a player. So one particular example, he was running with the first team, and all of a sudden, right before a scrimmage, somebody was moved in front of him. He wasn't communicated with, and pretty upset about that. And of course, as a parent, I was too. A parent and coach, I may not agree with your decisions, but at least communicate with me. So the message was to my son, well, you should go and talk to that coach and ask him why you were moved. And listen to why. Listen to the reasons he gives you. And make sure that he gives you those reasons. And so he went to the coach and came back and was given the answer, oh, well, we really don't have starters at this point, and you're going to be playing a lot. And I said, well, did he answer your question? He said, actually, no. He didn't tell me why he didn't communicate that with me. I said, that's what you need to address. You need to make sure. And so he went back and asked those things, and the coach admitted that he made a mistake. But I think it's one of those things. Again, we didn't have a situation right away that we answered a question with the truth. We actually gave a completely different answer, not related to that, because we didn't want to address that particular problem. And so, you know, you look at those things, and I mean, I'm going to push my son to keep playing, do what he needs to do, communicate with his coaches. But I think in a lot of these situations today, too many times, kids will walk away from that. Parents will just be disgruntled and start a side conversation about that coach. And when in reality, I think we can do better on all sides of it. Make sure we're asking for the truth and willing to accept it, like I had, you know, my son going forward with that, as well as the coach's side, being able to say, if you did make a mistake, admit it, and point out where you could have done better, point out that you're right, I didn't communicate that with you, here's why he's there, though. I think that solves a lot more problems, because as that continued, you know, he had to keep going back. And I didn't want it to fester, so I made him go back and get the answers.
You used the word earlier, Keith, that I think is, I observe to be one of, if not the primary story we tell ourselves about why we shouldn't tell the truth. And that is to protect people. We convince ourselves that not telling the truth, it protects people. Protects the people that we love. It protects a player. It protects the coach. It protects an assistant coach. It protects ourselves. And it's a lie. It's a very convenient lie that we tell ourselves, that I am protecting you. And if we take an honest look at it, not telling the truth is really only aimed at protecting one person. And that's yourself.
Right.
Not telling the truth. It's not about protecting other people. It's not about protecting others. It's about protecting ourselves from having to deal with the difficulty, the pain, the awkwardness, the emotion that sometimes come with speaking the truth to somebody. And more than that, I can remember when I learned this. I can remember that it fundamentally changed my life when I learned this. And it didn't come naturally to me. But I had to learn how to get to this spot. And no matter what spot you get to. I'm number one in line here. It's always difficult and hard, and there's frankly even anguish that comes along with it. But I believe, my opinion, it is a better approach. I am of the opinion strongly that it is a better approach. This doesn't make this true. This is just an opinion I have. I want to make sure I'm really clear on that since we talked about it. But it's this. Keith, I don't believe that it is my right to protect you from the truth of the world. I don't believe I get that right. I don't believe I get that right for anybody. I don't believe I sit in a position where I get to determine which truths you get to know and which truths you must stay hidden from for your own protection. I think ultimately, and this is what changed my life, that's a decision that comes from our own ego of thinking we know the truth and I should be the one. I know the truth and I should be the one to determine what truth you can handle and what truth you can't. Therefore, give me keys. You just let me decide what truths you're capable of handling and which ones you're not. I'll determine what truth you get access to. I mean, that straight up, that's just bullshit.
Yeah.
It is. Now, as part of that, though, and I think ultimately it bears out, and that's why these conversations are so good. It's why I enjoy having them. I literally picture 100 coaches sitting around us in a circle and just having a conversation about this, and I try to talk that way. On the other side of that, it's this. We don't tell the truth, sometimes not to protect people, other times that plus we know if we tell the truth, it's going to open a whole can of worms, right? Sometimes.
Yeah, it does.
But how often does hiding the truth just open a different can of worms and make it last longer and ultimately cost more?
Right. Well, I think of that as you're talking, and when we don't, and a lot of times we don't even address the person who we need to be truthful with. Again, you think of it all the time. It could be a player with his position coach, or could be the coaches with the head coach. The BCD stuff starts to happen, right? We don't go to him. We start maybe some BCD with the other coaches, and ultimately, you know, we're not involving the person who can actually help us address that issue. The person who needs the truth, most likely, the person who we're not addressing. I think you have to be willing, and sometimes it's difficult, you know, when, for example, you know, it's let's say it's the head coach. There's risk involved with saying, hey, coach, this is where things are. This is what I see we need to do here, whatever that might be. Could be a positive, could be something, you know, negative. But the idea that the BCD stuff is going to solve it is crazy. But I think a lot of the times when we're not willing to deal with the truth, we end up with that situation where we're going to blame, complain, and defend.
And in both cases, let's get tactical here. In both cases, telling the truth or hearing the truth, the first thing you have to do is you have to check your ego at the door. When I think about any relationship, but let's be very specific here. Why do assistant coaches struggle to tell head coaches the truth sometimes? Well, here's a huge reason why. And I talk to a ton of assistant coaches at every level who call with frustrations about a head coach because that's a real thing that happens and how to address different issues that go on. Almost all of them are hesitant or feel there's risk for telling the truth to a head coach. And I think the primary reason that I see that happening so often is because an assistant coach wants to tell the truth and then wants the head coach to immediately agree and believe and do everything the assistant coach is saying. And the assistant coach just wants everybody else to do what they're doing, which is basically what the head coach is saying. And so I think checking your ego at the door and telling the truth is why I break down capital truth, your truth, or a truth, I should say, and opinion. Is that you have to be real about what you're sharing. You're not sharing capital T truth most of the time. You're sharing a truth, but there might be a secondary and competing other truth, or you're just sharing an opinion. Mm-hmm. And if you share a truth or an opinion with a head coach, that's all you get to do. No one's on the hook for doing what you say or validating your right about everything. Now, you'd like them to validate, hey, thank you for sharing that opinion, or you'd like them to validate that they hear and understand you, but they're human, so a lot of times they won't. But when you check your ego to tell the truth, obviously checking your ego to hear it makes a ton of sense. It's really hard to hear the truth about yourself or a situation if your ego's in the way. But Keith, if I'm going to tell you I'm having an experience with you and it's my truth, and then you say, hey, BK, I appreciate that. I didn't know you were having that experience, and man, I apologize that the way I've acted has done this to you, but I've got this thing over here that you don't know about that is, you know, frankly, I just never told you about it because I'm dealing with it. And so that's where this is coming from. And I'm going to have to continue doing that. Or, hey, I appreciate you sharing that perspective with me, BK. I don't see it that way. And so we're going to continue down the path that I'm going, but I appreciate you sharing it. A lot of times assistant coaches just get mad that they shared a truth or their truth, and then somebody didn't act on what it was that they said. And so they use that as a reason to not tell the truth anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So checking your ego at the door is simply recognizing that just because you share some truth doesn't mean that people are going to do everything you say. You just can't let that stop you from telling it.
Right.
When you share the truth with a parent about their son or daughter in your program, and that parent gets upset, just recognize that parent has another truth. And that is they love their kid and they think they're amazing. And now you have two competing truths. You have one parent who believes their kid is incredible, and that's their truth. And if you have kids, you know what that feels like. You know what it feels like to want these amazing things for your kid. But you also have your truth as a coach, and that is they're not good enough to be in the game or have this certain role and be in that spot. Is one of those not true? Of course not. They're both true. They're both true. And so, you know, checking your ego is, hey, I'm responsible for sharing the truth that I see from my perspective or my opinion. And then the other person is responsible for being in their spot. And then we got to work through this together. But at a minimum, recognize this. I guess I would look at two things. I would look at number one is that not telling the truth in your culture, it's too inefficient and it's too expensive. It's way too costly to not tell the truth. Whatever the price in the short term for being honest or hearing really honest truth, whatever the price in the short term is, I promise you that the price you pay in the long term for hiding from the truth or keeping the truth to yourself is more. It's just hiding the truth is inefficient and expensive. And this is a great example, Keith, of one of those things that is not even remotely new. It is millennia old in terms of its relevance and how long we've known it. But here we are in 2018, and we are still fighting the fight and the battle individually within ourselves as well as in our larger society of whether we're going to be a society that tells each other the truth and hears the truth or not. And in 2018, here's a rare culture to have. Here's a rare culture as a team, as a staff, as a family, as a school or an organization. A rare culture is a culture where everybody tells each other the truth and where everybody listens to the truth. That is massively rare. And wherever there's incredible rarity, there is incredible opportunity for anybody willing to build that kind of a culture. It just requires you pay the price.
Brian, when we look at that from a cultural perspective, and, you know, again, we're towards the end of the season now, but doesn't mean we can't maybe start this if we haven't. And if, you know, maybe by the time you hear this, you're collecting the equipment and moving on to the next season. But how do we build that into our culture? How do we facilitate that we make sure, okay, we know we want the truth, but we set up the environment that it's conducive to telling the truth? Because I think you could see behaviors that maybe, again, prevent that from happening. What are the behaviors we want to go along with this?
Well, let me try to coach through this in an interesting way, because I'm actually going to ask you to answer the first question with just one answer. And I want to ask you, because I also want the audience to think before I say anything. I want the audience to actually think when you're listening. I want you to think, what is the first primary and biggest pillar that has to be in place if you want a culture in your program of telling the truth, speaking it, and hearing the truth and listening to it? What is the biggest, first, and by far most influential pillar that must be in place, that if you don't get this one in place, nothing else you do even matters. Who has to do it first? And who is the most important person who must tell the truth and hear the truth in a program?
Well, I think from anybody's perspective who's answering that question, it's got to be me.
There you go. That's where it begins, and it is by far the biggest pillar that must take place, and it's also by far the biggest pillar that does not consistently take place. And I got to call it like I see it. And you guys already, those of you who listen every week, you know me. You know how much I love coaches. You know how much I love this sport. You know how much I appreciate what you guys do with the resources available to do it. You know how important I believe your roles are in schools and in young people and in American culture and in society. You know how much I believe in you guys. And at the same time, football coaches aren't real great at being told the truth and hearing it and listening to it and genuinely taking it in. It's not a particularly strong track record in that space. I can go back 30 conversations ago, maybe you and me, Keith. I remember I was in Denver, Colorado. I think it was like 5 a.m. my time, and we were having a conversation about football culture in America, and we were talking about the dangers of how frustrating it can be working with parents and how coaches sometimes block themselves off from communities and parents because of how toxic that can be sometimes. And what happens is they block out an unwillingness to tell and hear the truth, and they set the tone, and they set the experience, and they lead by example of not having a relationship, blocking it off, being unwilling to hear or listen to somebody else, and allowing truths to continue to go untold. Look, there's three ways that any human being, in this context, coaches, deliver experiences to other people. Attitude, action, and words. Attitude is what people feel from you. Action is what people see from you, and words are what people hear from you. Unfortunately, one of the trends is that we do a lot of our expectations, and we try to get a lot of our standards set by using words. We tell people things. We say things like, tell the truth. Yet the attitude and action demonstrated is not one that delivers an experience of being particularly interested in hearing and listening to the truth. Whether that's just even a parent truth, like not capital T truth, like a parent says, hey, I had a bad experience with this. Go back, like your example with your son. Mm-hmm. That's not capital T truth. It was small truth. Like the small truth, but still true nonetheless and important for a coach, was that your son was confused. You were a little bit confused, and you told your son, go ask questions and get some answers. A coach needs to understand that while it's not capital T truth, it was still true that, hey, the way the coach handled that situation, it didn't feel great. And it created some doubt, and it created a lack of connection, and it created uncertainty, and it chiseled away at trust a little bit. It doesn't mean you're a bad person, but a coach needs to understand, hey, the way you did this, it undermined trust. Didn't take it from 100 to 0. It just took it from, I don't know, 100 to 90. Whatever. That's still true. Mm-hmm. Now, the coach might say, I understand why it happened, and you know, I'm going to continue to make the decisions I have to make, but it's good to know that the way I did this didn't quite connect with you here. So more than anything, the attitude and the action of the coach, you, must be one that shows people, not tells people, shows people how committed you are to making sure that the truth is on the table. You have to show it, and you have to make them feel it. And that's 100% in your power. You'll never be perfect. You'll never be perfect. Just aim to be as good as you possibly can be. How do you create that kind of a culture? Go first. Go first. Now, let me talk about the other side, because here's, if I have four coaches in front of me, three of them are saying this to me right away. They're saying, oh, so if you do that, well, then you open yourselves up to having to, you know, then the parents think they run it, the players think they run it. Now you have to answer every question. No, you don't. Nope. No, we're still talking about truth here. We're still talking about dealing with reality here. We're not talking about opinions. Opinions, if people have different opinions, that's okay. You can have that opinion. I have to be the coach of the program, and I do have to do this. But we're still going to have this open discussion, we're still going to have a conversation rooted in reality, where even if you, especially if you don't like the decisions that I'm making and you have a different opinion, the truth becomes more important. And truth in general becomes more important when people have differing opinions, because we've got to grab a hold of reality at some place and somewhere if there's wild different opinions going on, especially if they're kind of out of left field, which can happen a fair amount. It doesn't mean you have to do what everybody says. It means we have to have those discussions and we have to act in alignment with what is actually true and what's really going on. So the first thing is make them pick up how important truth is and speaking it and hearing it in your attitude. So when somebody starts sharing something with you, if your attitude is, I don't want to hear this, you're undermining people's willingness to tell the truth, because you've been there as well as I have, Keith. You ever try to tell the truth to somebody and you could tell while you were saying something that was a very real experience for you, and while you were telling whatever you were saying, you could see that the other person's attitude had no interest in hearing it whatsoever?
Yeah, I've been in those.
And what does that do to your willingness the next time you have something to tell that person, to your willingness to walk back into that room and go through that again? Does it make you more or less likely to go back and tell the truth?
You're definitely less likely to go back.
Yes, I know you're dealing with somebody who gives that attitude. I would tell you your commitment is still to tell the truth, even if you're dealing with that. So there's two parts to this. As a coach, don't make it harder for people to tell you the truth because you handle the situation with an attitude and a feeling that they don't want to deal with. Might be the single biggest head coaching mistake that happens right now. Might be number one on the list. And that is, they don't understand how hard it is to tell them the truth for other people because of the way they act and the attitude that they come across when they're being told the truth by other people. And then head coaches put their hands up with, well, I don't know why people don't tell me the truth. Why? I don't know why they, well, look at the way you act and look at the attitude that you have when somebody's speaking the truth to you, especially if it's a truth you're not particularly interested in hearing. No wonder people don't tell you the truth. It sucks to tell you the truth. Right now, to all those people who aren't telling the truth because it sucks to tell them the truth, I would say this: get some backbone and get some courage. Right, feed your heart, feed your backbone, build up some confidence, build up some courage, and go tell somebody the truth, despite the fact that it's difficult to do so and they don't handle the situation well, because that's your responsibility. If they're going to handle it like an ass, they're going to handle it like an ass. You don't control that. What you do control is the fact that you said it. It's the fact that you put it on the table. It's the fact that you tried to meet them where they are and hold the truth up. And you didn't hide it from them because you thought that they would respond poorly to it. Don't let anybody on the other side not reacting well to the truth be the reason that you don't even try to tell the truth to them. It's two-way.
Yep. Like you said, it's simple, but it's difficult to do. And I think you offered a lot of great tips here today, Brian, on how to do that. And really, I think the thing, at least for me, that really comes out of this is how important this is to a successful culture. If we can't live in that place where we're dealing with the truth, ultimately those things are going to come back and bite us.
And every coach in the world wants progress. Every coach in the world wants growth. Every coach in the world wants to advance. I just go back to, it's too inefficient and it's too expensive to our advancement and our growth and our progress to not tell the truth. Don't be afraid that telling the truth would kill the progress. Be afraid that if we don't tell the truth, we're never going to progress to where we ultimately want to go, and we'll never get there in time.
BK, I'm excited that you're going to be joining us again at National Conference, and it's time for guys to start thinking about that and planning it. I think it's one of the best events you can attend as a coach. You're going to get some great X's and O's. You're going to get some great program building philosophies and strategies. You're going to be there, and we're going to have two sessions with you, and remind our listeners what you're going to be talking about at our national conference.
You're going to be doing two breakouts, one on coaching and connection, all about how do you build championship relationships? What are the specifics and systems to build relationships that ultimately win championships? And then the second breakout session is going to be on culture and execution. How do you build and create a culture that not only wins football games, but also creates a phenomenal experience that people love to be around and be in and be associated with your program, because both of those are pillars.
BK, as I mentioned before, we got a great lineup of NFL, college, and great high school guys at the National Conference. I want to say we are well over now the 75 state championships accumulated by our high school speakers. I know we're adding Ken and Derek Leonard, hopefully Derek, his son, to the mix. Had a great story about those guys on the Power of Football. You can look that up on our website. And if you want to attend the National Conference, could save you some money here, go to usafootball.com events and register. If you put in podcast 99, you'll be able to save some money there and attend the conference for just $99 right now. So make sure you take advantage of that offer, and we'll love to see you there. BK, always great to catch up with you. I look forward to our next step in the leadership journey next week.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.